Right. Well, good morning. Good to be here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying. And I appreciated the thoughts there on questions. We've been looking at some questions, and you can ask questions until you're blue in the face, and you probably will still have more and more questions about life. There's always a lot to learn in life. Also appreciated the songs. Something about the singing of those last two songs that the ensemble did, it calmed my spirit, and I needed that. So thank you for sharing in those. Before we look at the question that I have on the schedule for this morning, I would like to give one thought about how we go about seeking answers. I'd like to give a warning against asking a question when you already have a preconceived idea of what the answer is. Because here is the problem with doing that. There's a good chance that in seeking the answer to that question, you will come up with the answer that you think you should come up with, if that's your preconceived idea. When you're seeking for something, if that's what you're looking for, you will tend to find that thing. And little story I would tell that kind of illustrates that. It happened in our family about 7.5 years ago. We live about 60 miles away from the Philadelphia airport. And it seems that as the jets take off, a lot of them tend to go right up over our property and head out to their destination. And I believe it was in April of 2018, Boeing 737 took off with 144 people on, as I recall, on board. And just as it was starting to gain altitude, and just so happened to be right above our general neighborhood, there was a loud explosion, and the one fan blade on the engine had blown apart, and the engine died. And they would have probably been okay, except that shrapnel from that explosion came and broke out the window of the airplane, and there was a lady, a 44-year-old mother, sitting right in the window seat where this was broken out, and I guess the suction ended up pulling her out of the airplane. And as we heard the story, she was out all the way to her waist, and other passengers came and pulled her back in, and unfortunately, till the airplane landed, she did succumb to those injuries and passed away, tragically. But that evening when I got home, I was reading the news, and I found out that our neighbors were finding pieces of this airplane. And the word went out that if you found any piece of the airplane, you were to contact the FAA, and they would come and retrieve the piece. And so I told our girls, I said, why don't you go out and see what you can find? Go out and look on our farm. And they went out, and they weren't out more than 10 minutes. And they had been out at the end of the lane, and I heard them yelling and screaming and jumping up and down. And in the lane, they came running. And they had found this stainless steel pipe about 4 feet long, probably about 1.5 inches in diameter. It was very heavy stainless steel. The one end was closed off. The other end had threads on it. And there were little tiny holes, like pinholes, all through this stainless steel pipe. It looked exactly like something you would imagine would have come off of an airplane. And they came running in the lane. Dad, Dad, look what we found. We found a piece that was laying out under the bush there at the end of the lane. And I looked at that thing, and my heart sank because I was going to have to break to them the news that this was not a piece off the airplane. What had happened about 2 weeks prior, I was out mowing lawn at the end of the driveway, and our neighbor man came over, and he was carrying this stainless steel pipe. Now, our neighbor man's one of these fellows that he goes around to auctions, and he will buy things at the auction just because he's at an auction, and the thing's for sale, so he might as well buy it. And so this thing had come up for sale, and he bought it, took it home, and he found out that it was some kind of filter for like a submersible pump. And back at that time, we were installing koi ponds, fish ponds, and we would deal with pumps. And so he brought this thing over to me. He said, "I'm sure you can use this somewhere in one of your pumps." And he handed it to me. And I said, "Thank you so much." And he left. And I threw it under a bush so that I could keep mowing and promptly forgot about it. 2 weeks later, when our girls are going out to find a piece of an airplane, there it is. Looked just like what they were seeking. Be careful what you're looking for in life. You just might find it. You just might find it. Don't go out seeking answers to your questions with a preconceived ideal or a lens through which you think the answer has to come. Now, the other extreme is to go with a completely open mind, and you'll take anything, whoever it is, anybody who's offering something, and that can be dangerous as well. We have to filter it through the Holy Spirit, through the Word, through our fellow believers. All right, so we've been looking at questions Christians must ask, and we ask the question, what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? We ask, what does it mean to forgive? And this morning, the question I would like to look at for a few minutes here is, what does it mean to know Christ? And you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. We'll be taking our thoughts from John 10. Before we do that, or as you're doing that, I'd like to ask this question. How many of you have ever met a famous person? Somebody who's fairly popular. You want to raise your hands if you met a famous person. Would you mind saying who it was? The governor of Virginia. That would have been a fairly famous person, I can imagine. So you met that person. Very good. You raise your hand. Jerry Falwell. Okay. He would be famous, especially around here. Anybody else meet a famous person? I met Milo Zaire. Okay. I actually kind of wondered if anybody would say Milo Zaire. That was maybe a low joke, right? What else? He has humor. I'm learning that. Thank you. Anybody else want to say a name, drop some names? It's a good time to drop a name. Yes, Ben. Franklin Graham. Okay, that's interesting. That saved the what? The hog industry. Okay, well, thank you. Growing up in a hog farm, that probably helped my father. So when I was about 11, 12, I'm not even sure, I didn't figure it out how old I was. My parents decided to take us to Washington, D.C., and we visited the Capitol building. And as we were walking down one of the corridors of the building, a door in front of us opened up, and a group of men came out. And one of the men, lo and behold, was a man that I had seen many, many times in the U.S. News and World Report. His name was Bob Dole. I don't know if any of you, how many remember the name Bob Dole? Okay, you're showing your age. But I believe he had been, I believe he had run maybe as, or he ran for president. And what I recall is he came out and he was just shaking hands with the people that were walking up and down the corridor. And there was us, this Mennonite family, and we all walked up and shook his hand. And what kind of intrigued me was that he used his left hand to shake hands with everybody. And I didn't understand what that was all about. Later on, did find out that a war injury has disabled his right hand, so that's how he would greet people. Well, what do you think 11, 12, 13-year-old boy does when he gets back to school? Well, I bragged to all my friends that I had met Bob Dole, the man in the U.S. News and World Report. I had met Bob Dole, and I was so impressed that I could tell all my friends, and they all looked at me like, wow, you actually ran into Bob Dole. Now, if you say that name, only a few of us older people actually remember who he was. Well, Sometimes we hear people talking about their salvation experience as the time when they met Christ. Or, I don't know, maybe that's maybe they don't do it down here in the South so much, but they'll talk about the time when they learned to know Christ as when I came to know the Lord. We hear that term at times. And I'd like to ask you this morning, if you profess to be a Christian this morning, what kind of meeting did you have with Christ? What kind of meeting did you have with Christ? Do you really know Christ? Or did you just have like a left-hand handshake with him that you're now walking around bragging that I actually met the Lord? I actually came to know the Lord. What kind of meeting did you have with Christ? What does it mean to know Christ? And so we're going to look here at John 10. I'd like to take a few pointers from this passage on what it means to know Christ. Verse 14 kind of gives the outline to my sermon. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And I see a twofold dimension there of knowing Christ. The first one is Jesus saying, I know my sheep. And then the second one is, my sheep know me. And so for the two parts of my message, number one, I'd like to think of, do I know Christ? Number two, does Christ know me? And so let's read here verses 1 through 14 of John 10. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now he's not only the good shepherd, he's also the door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. We'll stop there. And if we would jump to verse 23, we would find out that Jesus was standing on Solomon's porch of the temple. And I'm told that if you stood on Solomon's porch of the temple, you could look out over the Judean countryside, and you got a panoramic view of the countryside all around you. Beautiful place to be. And at evening time, if you would go up there and stand on this beautiful lookout, you would see shepherds with these long strings of sheep coming down over the hillsides, coming back to town, winding their way back to a common sheepfold. And if you know a little bit about how they worked back then, they had various flocks owned by various shepherds. And they would, at nighttime, go into a common or communal sheepfold. Why did they need a sheepfold? You see, all day long they were out grazing in the open fields, and the shepherd would be there with them, and he would talk to the sheep. He would sing to the sheep. I think of David there with his harp, and he had that voice that they were hearing. But then at nighttime, they would bring them back to the sheepfold. And the sheepfold was just basically a large pen. And it might have been made of rocks or sticks or brush. And the sheep would go into this large pen to protect them from the foxes and the wolves and the coyotes and the bears that were out there in the wild. And so it was a place where the sheep could safely lie down and sleep at nighttime. But now think about this. In the morning, when the shepherd would come to the communal sheepfold and want to take his sheep, and not anybody else's sheep, just his sheep, back up onto the Judean hillsides, how was he going to go in there and separate all the sheep from ones that were his and ones that weren't? Well, do you remember what the shepherd does all day long? Sounds like a rather idyllic lifestyle, right? To be up there talking to your sheep and singing to your sheep. And so all he would do is walk up to the sheepfold and he would start to call his sheep. And these sheep would all have names. I don't know what those names were, but we have sheep at home. And the first four sheep all got names. And then they had babies and we kept all the females. And now I think we're up to about 32 female sheep because we sell off the males. And I think the names have pretty much ended with about the last batch of sheep. But these shepherds here would call their sheep by name. And the sheep, they would listen. Ah, that's my shepherd. He's calling my name. I'm going to follow him. He takes me to good pastures. Nice water. Keeps me safe. I'm following that shepherd. And so they would go. And we see that in this passage. But there would also be sometimes men who had bad intentions. And they would come and they would try to call out the sheep. And they would call their names and, you know, come on, Molly, come on, Molly. And Molly, the sheep, would look at it, at this fellow and say, I don't know you. I'm not going with you. That's a strange voice. Strange voice they wouldn't follow. They would sit back. A stranger's voice they will not follow. The sheep know their shepherd because they recognize his voice. It's a beautiful picture of Christ, the good shepherd. And so I'd like to ask you this question this morning. Do you recognize Christ's voice? Do you recognize his voice this morning? We talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Do you recognize Christ's voice as it comes to you, maybe through the Holy Spirit? And I will warn you very quickly, and I think you all know this, there are strange shepherds out there today. There's a lot of strange shepherds that would like to pull you away and have you follow them off into the wilderness. But can you pick out the shepherd's voice? Whose voice are you following this morning? Whose voice are you following? And to answer this, I think it's good every now and then if we as Christians, I don't care if you're a young Christian, middle-aged Christian, older Christian, if every now and then we stop and we just say, you know, whose voice am I actually following? Where am I going? What direction am I heading in life? And some people call that taking inventory of our life. And I think it's helpful to do that. I think of all the strange voices out there. And I know for myself, I enjoy podcasts. And I listen to a lot of podcasts. I think I told you how I'm trying to go on a walk 1 hour a day. And even though it might not look like it, I am trying to do that. And one of the things that kind of lures me off into that walk is that I know that I can turn a podcast on and put it in my shirt pocket, and then I listen. I don't wear earbuds because I want to hear if a car's coming up behind me. And if you ask my wife or daughters who I'm normally listening to, I'm sure they could spit the names out, but I don't want to embarrass myself by saying the two or three people that I often listen to. But I think about this. Am I saying I accept what is being said simply because I really like that fellow? All right? Simply because I really like his views. And I think they're good men, the ones that I enjoy listening to. But it's good to ask myself and every now and then to think about it. Whose voice am I actually following? Am I following Bill O'Reilly or Tucker Carlson? Is that who I'm following? All right? Or am I following what the Bible says? Those men are also fallible men. We men, what about the love of money? Again, that can be a a problem with me. I get consumed with making a living or running my business. And is it consuming more and more and more of my time that I get to the point where that's all I'm following after? That's the only direction my nose is pointing, is keeping that business going. You know, purity of mind, especially for young men, that's something you can think about. Am I actually going down a road that's not real safe? And I know Satan brings temptations, and we can pray and we can ask God to remove those temptations. Or are we sort of saying, you know what? That was kind of enjoyable. I'm gonna keep digging down that road. And so we can think about various things. Ladies, I don't know what you might have as a strange voice. Maybe it's books, podcasters. I don't know. But it's good to stop and think. What voice am I following after? What's pulling me? What direction? And it's good to listen. It's good to take things in. But if our relationship with the Good Shepherd is getting more and more distant or more and more cold, and it's harder and harder for us to pray or get excited about even reading our Bibles, maybe we have to stop and say, hey, now wait a minute, whose voice am I actually seeking? Why is it good to be careful that we are staying close to the Shepherd? Well, what we just read here, there are other false shepherds. There's other false shepherds. There are other shepherds that would love to take you for a run in the wilderness. And this passage calls these false shepherds thieves and robbers. I would like to just warn you, beware of thieves and robbers. Verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. What does a thief and a robber do? Have you ever been robbed? Have you ever had a thief come and steal from you? When I was about 6 years old, actually I was about 5 years old, and I had a brother who was 3 years older than me, so he was probably eight. We lived on a pig farm up in the mountains. It was kind of up in the boonies. No neighbors close by. And as we kind of enjoyed that, it was one of those situations where sometimes people would try to take advantage of us being by ourselves up there. And so I remember one Saturday morning, my parents left and went to a wedding, and they left all us children at home with a babysitter. And she was an older single lady there in our church. So my brother and I, we were out there doing the pigs, feeding the pigs and taking care of the pigs. And the middle of the morning, in the driveway comes an old pickup truck, rattly old pickup truck. Back then, we didn't have four-door pickups. This was just a regular two-door pickup. And three big husky men jumped out of the truck and came over to the pig barn there where we were working. And they said to my brother, 8 years old, are your mom and dad here? My brother said, no, they're not here. Okay, did your dad tell you that we're coming to pick up some pigs? No, he didn't say anything about pigs, but, you know, could be he forgot, you know, and here we are, little Mennonite boys, and we believed everything we were told. Well, we came to pick up some pigs, and your dad told us we can just go in there to the barn and pick out whichever fat hogs we want. And so they opened the door, and I could right away tell they weren't used to being around pigs, and they started walking in, and they would jump back anytime a pig would come toward them, and I didn't know how this would go. And they finally looked at my brother, and they were kind of like in a hurry. They were like, you get the pigs, and you get them on their truck for us. We had a loading chute, and so my brother said, well, you back up to the loading dock, and we'll get in there, and we'll chase them up onto the back of your pickup truck. And they picked out four big fat hogs, and these were pretty big ones, so, you know, we couldn't just grab them, but we had these boards with little handles on them, and we went in there, and we chased the pigs all around, and finally we'd get one cornered and get it out to the loading dock, and then we'd go out, and they kept, hurry up, get that one, now we want that one, and it just felt kind of funny, but they had talked to Dad, I guess. So Finally, we had the four pigs out there, had them loaded on the back of their truck, but their truck only had regular sides, and these were big pigs. And they started jumping and trying to get out of the pickup truck. And so the man, the spokesman, said to my brother, "Do you have a gun?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, my dad has a deer rifle." "Oh, good, good. Go get your deer rifle. Grab some bullets." And so we went in the house, and 303 British deer rifle, quite a big gun, and brought it out, handed it to him. Pop, 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 pop. All four pigs were dead. They took off down the road. Gave us the gun back. And so we went about our work. Never thought too much about it. And the end of the day, my parents came home. "How did it go?" "Oh, we had a wonderful day." And we were just talking about the day. And by the way, those four men from the city of Reading, we kind of thought they were from the city of Reading, came and got the pigs. My dad looked at us like, "What pigs?" I had no idea anybody was coming for pigs. And it was that moment, that little boy that I was, my eyes were open, that guess what? Not everything that you hear in life is true. There are thieves and there are robbers. And the way they came is a perfect illustration of the way the thieves, the false shepherds, come to you today. They come with the false story. They tell you that they deserve or they have a right to take the thing they are taking. And their goal is to just simply take your goods, kill, and they leave. And that's so, so true of the thieves and robbers out there who would like to lead you out into the wilderness. They like to rob you of your innocence. They'll rob you of your peace, your purity, your satisfaction in life, your contentment. And verse 10 says, finally, they will rob you of your life itself. That's why it's good to occasionally stop and say, do I actually know the real shepherd, the good shepherd? Is that the one I'm following? Or am I following a thief, a robber, and eventually a murderer? Now, the good shepherd has a completely different goal in mind. Look at verse 10, the end of verse 10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And, you know, the thing of an abundant life, I think there's something in each one of us that we enjoy to be around people who are living life to the fullest. And sometimes when you're young and you're carefree and there's no problems and you're invincible, it might feel more like you're living life to the oldest. And then you become 50 years old and you start to see a lot of the bad things of life, or you become cynical and it's a little harder to live your life to the fullest. But this good shepherd is out to help you live your life to the fullest. Are you living an abundant life? Do you know the good shepherd? What does it mean to know Christ? It means to be being led by a good shepherd who wants to give you an abundant life. Are you living an abundant life? Are you involved in things you love? Or is life just a bitter veil of tears and drudgery? If that's your life, you might be following the wrong shepherd. Now, I'll quickly say this. You can be following the good shepherd and you may be going through some valleys. But the goal is that you would have an abundant life and not to just always have a drudgery or a despair of life. All right, for the second part here of the message, my first question was, do you know Christ? Do you know his voice? And the second question is, does Christ know me? Does Christ know me? And actually, this is probably the more important question, as we will see. This passage assures us, if you are following his voice, he knows you. You can look down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, sometimes it is easy to feel lost among the masses of humanity. Last time I checked, the world population was right around 8.5 billion people. Do you ever feel kind of anonymous among those 8.5 billion people? Like, I'm just one of many, many. The facts are you are just one of many, many. But this morning, I'm humbled, yet I'm thrilled, and I'm delighted to think that my loving shepherd knows me. He knows me by name. He calls me, and he calls me by name. Psalm 103 says this. It even says a little bit more about this. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And what that verse is saying there is that not only does he know you, he knows who you are, he knows your name, but he also knows the ingredients that went into making you who you are. He knows that you are dust. He knows that I am dust. He knows all the dust that went into creating us and making us into the people, the hard things, the painful things, the troubling things. You know, it's interesting. Every person here has a life story. Years ago, when I was a school teacher, we went to a museum, and there was an old man sitting there at the museum, outside the door of the museum, and he told me that his hobby or pastime in life was to simply sit and listen to people's stories. And back then, I was probably early 20s. I told my wife, when I get old, that's what I'm going to do for a living. I'm just going to sit and have people come and tell me their stories. Because the interesting thing is, I have never yet met someone who has a boring life story. Like, every single person I've ever met has something really unique that happened to them. Have you ever met a boring person? Or a person who has a boring story, I should say. No. Yeah, there's boring people, but it's because they don't tell you their story. Every single person has an interesting life story. Every one of us could tell a story this morning that is uniquely our own story. And there's something very beautiful. The joys, the good things, the advantages you were handed in life. Or you could also be telling me the hardships, the disappointments, the sorrows, the disadvantages. God says he knows every last ingredient that went into making your life the life that you live. It's kind of like the ladies who make a cake. Who better knows that cake than the ladies who make the cake? I come in there and I cut a big old square out of it and I eat it down and I don't think too much about all the good things that went into making that cake. The eggs and the flour and the baking soda and all the good things, the icing on the top. The ladies, they know every single thing that's in that cake because they made that cake. And I'd just like to encourage you this morning, God carefully brought your life's experiences to you to shape and mold you into the exact person you are. And he knows exactly what you will need tomorrow to make you a better follower of his. Do you resent what he has brought into your life? Or do you love him for it? The good shepherd knows you. The good shepherd knows you. Remember, his goal is that we might have life and that it would be more abundant, not just a drudgery. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And so in that way, he's a very, very good shepherd. Now, I'd like to, here at the end of this message, I'd like you to turn to Matthew 7. And I just want to point out why it is so important that we not only know the shepherd, but that the shepherd knows us, or that God knows us. Did you know it is possible this morning to have a wonderful head knowledge of Christ and to have a loud profession of Christ, but all the while the good shepherd does not know who we are? Look at Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful things? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And here we have a group of people that were very, very active followers of Christ. They were walking around saying, "Lord, Lord." They were the people that in church, when you ask them for a testimony, they'd stand right up and they would say, "The Lord did this and the Lord did that." They had a wonderful profession. They were even able to replicate gifts of the Spirit. They had the power to prophesy, the power to cast out devils. They were able to do many wonderful works. They were the spiritual people of the day. But in all this, Christ declares, "I never knew you." For all that noise they were making, Christ didn't even know who they were. He does not know them. But they sure knew Christ. They sure knew Christ. Or at least they talked and acted like it. But the indictment against them was Christ did not know them. For all their noise, all their profession, and all their miracles, Christ did not recognize them. Here's the important point. Just because I feel like I know about somebody doesn't mean that I actually know him. What does it mean to know Christ? Just because I know about him doesn't mean I actually know him. And I will illustrate it this way. Suppose I would go to the White House and I would walk up to the door and there are standing the guards. And I'd say, "I'm here to see President Donald Trump," right? And they would say, "Okay, President Donald Trump, do you know him? Do you have an appointment?" "Oh, sure, I know him. I know him. I'm here to see him. I know him." "Do you think they let me in?" "I know Trump. I'm coming to see him. I read about him in the, I guess we don't have the U.S. News and World Report anymore, but I read about him. I know him. I'm coming here to see him." Probably they would not let me in. But now suppose they would go in and they'd say, "Hey, Mr. President, there's a fella out at the gate. He's here to see you. His name is Stanley." And suppose the president would say, "Oh, Stan, yes. Oh, absolutely, bring him right in." He wouldn't say that, of course, but suppose he would. "Do you think they let me in?" "Of course." The difference was, he knew who I was. All I knew in the first example was a little bit that I read about him. But he knew who I was. And so that would make all the difference. This Greek word here for "no," "I never knew you," and I'm not a Greek scholar, I don't want to try to sound like I'm one, but the word I'm told is gnosko. There's a Spanish word that is fairly similar to that. And it means recognize. It means recognize. And so what Christ is saying here is this. I don't recognize them. I don't recognize them. And so the question that I would ask is, does Christ recognize me? Does he recognize you? And I want you to think about those of you who have children or grandchildren. Think about your own children. When there's a group of children playing, and you look at the group, how do I recognize my own children? Various ways, but one way is because when I look at them, I see myself in them. And you know, I was telling you the other evening that I have three grandsons. And my wife and I had five daughters, no boys. So having grandsons is just beautiful. It's a wonderful thing to have these boys. And how often I have heard people say to me recently when they look at my second grandson, he's only a year and a half old, they say, "You know what? He looks just like his grandpa. He's got those chubby cheeks just like his grandpa." They recognize me in him. I can't believe it. I almost feel unworthy. Well, when Christ looks at you, does he see something he recognizes? Does he see himself in you? Now, I like to think of Christ in heaven watching, and he says, "Look at him. Look at how he's acting. Look at Stanley there. Now watch what he does. This is going to happen. You just watch what he does. He's going to respond exactly like I would respond." He's going to act just like me. I like to think of that. I like to think that that's what he sees. But I'm sure many times he looks at me and says, oh boy, that's not what I would have done. And then he graciously sends his Holy Spirit, and Stanley has to turn around and maybe go apologize or say, I should have done better. Does Christ look at you and wonder, who is this fella? He's talking about me a whole lot. He's making a lot of noise. He's saying, Lord, Lord. But there's nothing in him that I recognize. This morning, do you know the shepherd? Do you know Christ? Are you following his voice? Do you recognize his voice? That's the first question I'd like to ask. And the second question is, does Christ recognize himself in you? Are you being honest about the kind of meeting you have with Christ? What does it mean to know Christ? Are you walking around bragging to people that when I was 11 years old, I learned to know the Lord and make it sound like you're just really, really good? Or are you being honest with yourself and sometimes saying, you know what? I'm not acting like something the Lord would recognize. I heard the story of a lady. I'll end with this story. Every morning when she would wake up, she would pull the curtain back, look out her window, and she would say, Lord, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And she did that for many, many years. And then one morning, she woke up and she pulled the curtain back, and she looked out the window and she said, Lord, I hate you, Lord. I hate you, Lord. And it was said of that woman that that was the day, the very day, that her relationship with the Lord actually began. Why? Because she had finally become honest with her Lord about her relationship. Are you being honest this morning about your relationship with the Lord? What kind of meeting have you had? Do you actually know him? Does he know you?